the name of the Father, and the Son, Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. كل سنة وحضراتكم طيبين. Today we celebrate the feast of the entry of the Lord to Jerusalem. And the symbol in this feast, of course, the Lord came to present himself as a sacrifice, the ultimate sacrifice for the forgiveness of each man's sin. But the symbol of this feast represents the Lord being king and accepted as a king over us, over our hearts, our minds, our homes, and our churches. And this is the key of the spiritual life, that we would be led with the Spirit of God because we accept Christ as a king over us. We find while the people were receiving him, they tried to offer something. So they came with their clothes and maybe palm leaf, because they received him as an earthly king. They greeted him as one who is going to save them from the slavery that they were under by the Roman Empire. But we live in this New Testament, we were granted to be priests and kings. He granted us this dignity he bestowed upon us because of his sacrifice. He exalted us and made us priests and kings. So what is actually the gift that should be given from priests and kings? What we should give to God today in reward for his love? What he's expecting from us? It is not the palm leaves, it's not, of course, the clothes or any other gift that God would rejoice in. There are certain gifts that we can learn from the scripture what would be pleasing to God. The first one is the sacrifice of the ego and the will. Nothing would be more pleasing to God than a person who offers his will and doing what is right, even against his heart's inclination. I do this not because I want to do it, but because this is what God is expecting from me. This meaning is what St. Paul was conveying to the people of Galatia when he said, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. If God lives in me, Christ lives in me, he will dictate my actions and behavior. Maybe I will feel like I want to answer back for this person who like maybe give me hard time. And sometimes often we fall into this kind of temptation. But when we go back and review ourselves, we find this is not how Christ would respond. If Christ lives in me, he would respond in a different way. And we go and we struggle in order for us to give the gift of the will, and he would be living in us. This gift of the will is presented through the virtue of perfect obedience. And obedience is not just, I ask you to do, get me something from outside, and you kindly go out and get it for me. This is not obedience. The meaning of obedience in the scripture is to do something against even what you feel like you are convinced to do. It is doing something totally against my heart and my mind, just because I believe this is the right thing to do. When Abraham was asked to offer Isaac, I don't believe nothing in his heart or in his mind would be agreeing with this. How can I offer my son, my only son that I waited for him? Even this man, this son, is whom he accepted the promise through. So even it is against God's promise when he told him that from Isaac there will be a blessing will come to the world. How can I offer the man that you gave to me and you said he's going to be a blessing to me and all of the people will come after me? But Abraham offered his will before he offers Isaac. He obeyed God to the point of ready to give his son slain him. We all like the story about Amber John the Short when he was asked to go and plant the tree. And we always tell it to our children and we hear it in Sunday school often. But when we think about it, it doesn't make any sense that anyone would take a stick and go and plant it and continue doing this for 3 full years, going back and forth. But we praise him because he did something that's out of his obedience. He offered his will to God before he offered his obedience to his spiritual father. If I go and I consult with my father of confession and tells me something I don't like, even about fasting, I will feel like, okay, it's okay. I don't have to obey him. I maybe go and do whatever I feel like, or maybe I'll change my father of confession altogether. But Amba John the Short didn't do this. He went, he did what does not make sense, and at the end of the day, he was rewarded. So the first offering that would be pleasing to God is the offering or the sacrifice of the will and our ego. The second sacrifice, the sacrifice of humility. This is what King David spoke about in Psalm 50 that we pray every day in our prayers when he said, "For you do not desire sacrifice or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit." This broken spirit is not something that we can fake and just stand before God and say, or before men and say that I am a sinner, I am not worthy. We all can say these kind of things, but this is not truly what is humility is about. Humility is again in maybe accepting what we do not favor, maybe how we are treated, what we think we deserve. Humility is shown in how we handle each other with kindness and care, how we even accept that people will be like advanced and we accept the last place. It is not something easy. The valley of humility looks terrifying from afar, but once we are there, we will be walking with the Lord Himself. We find this example in the Bible in the Canaanite woman, whom Christ did not answer her kindly at the beginning. And he rejected her request like in a one time and second time. Even the disciples went and tried to intercede on her behalf. At the end, he told her what the people would say about the Gentiles. It is not fitting to give the bread of the children to dogs, speaking about the Gentiles. She answered and said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." This is humility. And when she offered this, she was granted everything, whatever you wish. This is what Christ wanted to reveal in her. Humility is not only a sacrifice that would be pleasing God, but also it would accept, it would gain other people favor. We like to deal with humble people. Yes, we all struggle to attain this kind of virtue, but we can see how this offering, Abigail offered before David, granted her favor, and he forgave her husband because when she came to talk with him, look at her words when she said, "On me, my Lord, on me let this iniquity be, and please let your maidservant speak in your ears and hear the words of your maidservant." It is not the gift that she brought with her that made him to forgive her husband. It is this humility when she took on herself the guilt of her husband, and she spoke to him with this kind of humility. The third sacrifice is the sacrifice of good deeds. Maybe this one we don't find difficulty with. We are inclined to do what is kind and good. And we find even this is something make us to rejoice. And also it makes God Himself to rejoice. St. Paul says to the Hebrews, "Do not forget to do good and to share, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased." Don't save yourself. Don't spare your givings and thinking that this is what's going to make you safe and secure. It is when you give, at that time you please to God, He will never make you in want. The psalmist says, "Offer the sacrifice of righteousness and put your trust in the Lord." The Lord praised the widow who gave all of her possession because this was a sacrifice. Again, it's even her understanding, how I'm going to survive, and said about her, "Assuredly, I say to you, and as much as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me." Every time you give, every time you help, everyone you extend your hand, you are offering a sacrifice to the Lord. The fourth sacrifice that would be pleasing to Him is the sacrifice of labor and suffering. Suffering in the New Testament is not a punishment as we see it in the Old Testament. On the contrary, actually, we find people who are suffering and accepting this from God's hand. They are offering sacrifice to Him. St. Paul says about this, "As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter." He did not think of it as something to make himself pity himself or feel bad or we are not lucky. Or we are persecuted. On the contrary, he is offering this to God as if we are sheep given to the slaughter, enduring the suffering for the Lord Christ's sake. We always remember our martyrs and we think of them and their ultimate sacrifice that they granted on the Lord on the altar of love. We look at them and we see how those people were doing the action of priest and king, offering themselves before him, accepting injustice and endurance, in endurance and patience. Sometimes when you ask someone to accept injustice, say, how can I do this? Would God accept that I will be treated unfairly? Let me tell you, yes, he would accept you to be treated unfairly. He himself was treated unfairly, so why he wouldn't accept it for us? At the end of the day, there is a reward for this. When we endure, when we accept this kind of treatment, it does not go without notice. There is a cross in the service. When you service people, the most difficult part is dealing with people sometimes. But why we do this? Why we have to go through this? Many times people say, I don't have to go this hassle. I will come to the church and leave to spare myself the wear and tear. But actually, the people who are serving and accepting this, they are offering sacrifice to God. When you apply yourself to the service of God, this is what's said in the Son of Sirach, prepare your soul for temptation. Be ready for this. It is part of the package. The fifth sacrifice is the sacrifice of the body. I offer myself, my body, my flesh. How we offer this? In worship. When you come today and attend the liturgy that's 6 hours long, it's not something easy. It is not. But here again, you are offering yourself as a sacrifice. This is what St. Paul said and meant when he was speaking to the Romans. He said, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. We come throughout the whole week participating in the Pascha. From Friday to Saturday night, we spend almost 24 hours in the church between Good Friday and Abu Ghalamsis and the feast. When we do this, we are offering ourselves for as a holy, acceptable sacrifice to God because we offer our reasonable service, the labor and toil associated with the worship in spirit and truth. Yes, fasting is not easy. Standing to pray with the Akbaya is not easy. Attending long liturgies is not easy. All of these. But again, at the end of the day, when we know that this is a sacrifice, we are offering this to God, this will make it much easier for us when we stand and offer it. The last sacrifice that would be pleasing to him is the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. St. Paul says to the Hebrews and to us, therefore by him let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, the sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Every time you stand and say, thank you, O Lord, let us give thanks to the beneficent and merciful God. You are offering him a sacrifice. This is a sacrifice of the angels, by the way. The angels cannot offer their bodies because they don't have any. They do not offer suffering and endurance. They do not offer any of the other sacrifices that we spoke about. They only have this one, and they are very good in offering it. Let us share them, offering praise and thanksgiving to him at all times. Look here, the psalmist is giving us many, many reasons why we should thank God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. I wonder sometimes when we forget all of these goodness, and we come and say, I don't feel like I want to thank God because I'm suffering or have issues. If we forget all of these things, we cannot offer the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. Today we come to the church to offer this praise as well. We thank him for what he is about to do, to come and offer himself for no reason except that because of his love. Today, we are sharing the people, not only by raising palms or singing, but also we are offering this kind of sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. If we are priests and kings, we should be offering this kind of sacrifice. I will mention them again. Offer sacrifice of the ego and the will, the sacrifice of humility, sacrifice of good deeds, the sacrifice of labor and suffering, sacrifice of the body, and the sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. To the Lord be the glory forever and ever. Amen.